Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative, investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Tim Stenovec on Bloomberg Radio.
Improving inclusion is a big issue in society. It's a big issue for corporations, the C-suite, and that includes financial inclusion. Our next guest focuses on that. Shamina Singh, she's the founder and president of MasterCard's Center for Inclusive Growth. She joins us on Zoom from New York City. Shamina, thanks so much for joining us here. Talk to us about what financial inclusion is.
So first of all, thank you so much for having me here. It's an incredibly important topic, but it's a pretty simple idea. And that is that everyone in the world deserves to be engaged in the formal financial system. I think it's probably surprising to a lot of people that there are many, many hundreds of millions of people around the world who don't participate in the formal economy, and they actually spend most of their currency and most of their time and energy transacting in an environment that is mostly cash and mostly insecure. And so the idea is that we as companies, as regulators, as governments, all need to come together to ensure that as many people as possible have access to the rules, the regulations, the responsibilities, and the benefits of engaging in a formal financial system.
So, Shamina, what are some of the priorities there for inclusion? Is it as simple as getting more people to be able to open bank accounts, investment accounts, all the above?
Well, look, I think it's all of the above, but at its core, I think it's about making sure that people do have access to bank accounts or some sort of account that allows them to store their money safely, spend their money securely with them being in charge of it, and ensure that they have things like insurance and the ability to spend in a way that aligns with their responsibilities. You know, over the last 10 years, what's interesting is we have been able to work across the world to actually increase financial inclusion by 50%. There are over 75% of adults around the world now that do have access to formal bank accounts. And I have to tell you that when we first started on this journey over 10 years ago, that was definitely not the case. So it's working, but there's more work to do.
Shamina, is this primarily an emerging markets issue? And if so, where are some of the key markets that you guys are really focused on now?
It's funny, you know, I just landed from Ethiopia today, this afternoon, and that is a market that is just ripe for expansion. It's opening, it's exciting, it's growing, but the vast majority of adults in Ethiopia don't have access to formal regulated bank accounts. But that's not the only place. I mean, there are pockets around the world, certainly. But even here in the United States, in developing economies, there are millions of people that don't have access and don't participate in the formal economy. So I think we'd all be surprised at how hard it is actually to engage in a responsible way in the economy. And it's also one of the reasons why we're convening the Inclusive Growth Summit, but also calling on the administration and members of Congress to pass a national financial inclusion strategy in the United States.
So for a country like Ethiopia, what are some of the barriers that are preventing people from participating in the financial system? I'm guessing one is just not a lot of brick and mortar banks. Is it as simple as that?
I wish it was as simple as that. You know, and it's becoming easier with you know, mobile phones and cell service and the digital divide hopefully decreasing over time. The opportunity is there for more people to participate. But oftentimes, because people transact in cash, they're paid in cash, they spend in cash, it's hard not to participate in a digital economy. And so one of the things that we saw during COVID, and I don't think people will be surprised by this, is that those who were not able to operate more digitally really fell behind the curve in their ability to transact and succeed in a digital economy. And so I think that the urgency of now and the urgency of anyone, either from, you know, from Michigan to Mumbai, to participate in the formal economy through digitization is an extremely important topic for us to tackle.
So, Shmita, this seems like an opportunity that would be ripe for a, you know, public-private partnership type of thing. There's so many really amazing fintech companies out there, and if I could get my technology into some of these areas, you know, you could really make a difference. So talk to us about how governments approach it.
Yeah, it's interesting, and you're absolutely right. Like, for issues related to not only financial inclusion, but shared prosperity, inclusive growth, climate, all of the things that we're focused on in our individual silos, whether it's private sector or public sector or social sector, the opportunity now is to actually move from silos to solutions and really break down the barriers that exist between public, private, social sectors to ensure that we bring all of our assets, all of our superpowers, if you will, together to ensure a strong and positive collective outcome for everyone.
So, Shmita, with this summit coming up next month in April, what's top of the agenda there? What are some of the priorities?
The top of the agenda, I think, is, you know, the urgency of now and making sure that we're bringing together the right leaders at the right time to form common cause around the issues that we're all facing. The calamity of climate change, the fundamentals around financial inclusion, the opportunities related to inclusive growth, but also the idea that, you know, with all of the new technology, all of the ChatGPT, AI, all of the things that we're asking questions about, the opportunity now is to say, how are we ensuring that those technologies work for us, not against us? And those are the kinds of topics and conversations that we'll be discussing at the Inclusive Growth Summit by people who are at the top of their game, by the decision makers who can cross boundaries to ensure that what we talk about actually becomes implemented in action.
Hey, Shmita, just about 10, 15 seconds. If an immigrant in the United States is here illegally, can he or she open a bank account?
It depends. It depends on a couple of things related to the banking regulations. But if they're here legally, they can absolutely open a bank account.
Okay. There you go. I mean, it's very interesting because I remember it's very interesting. Shmita Singh, a founder and president of MasterCard Center for Inclusive Growth, joining us on Zoom from New York City. But I remember working at a bank in college, and the illegal immigrants would just go to – and after I worked at the bank, I worked at Eddie's Donuts right next door. And they'd come in, cash their checks, and buy money orders because they couldn't open a bank account.
Right.
And it was just like, really?
From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.